tests or operations or recovery, the loss of loved ones. The list is just so great that we have to turn it over to you, Father. Father, we live in a humble jumble world right now. We hear bad things about people that one shouldn't be said and two may not even be true. Bring some peace and civility into our world. Bless our leaders. It doesn't matter what side they're on, as long as they're trying to do what is right to your children, to your country. So bless them and give them inspiration and strength and courage, we pray, Lord. Bless our individual congregation, we may reach out and help others and serve them. Give us your love and grace and be with the speaker today. Be with our military, our missionaries, those in foreign fields that help us. Be with our first offenders and first assistants and watch over them. I pray in Christ's name, amen. Paul, though a Jew of Jews, a very strong scholar, did not spend very much time speaking to the Jews. He was actually called to go and to talk to the Gentiles, which is what we are. He's now north, way north of Israel. He's gone into what we call Asia Minor. Well, what they called Asia Minor. It's really what we call Turkey today. And there he went to a city called Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a home daddy city in its time. Started about the 10th century B.C. It's a very smart, powerful, and high-thinking Greeks from Iconian area. They picked a beautiful place. They picked right on the riverbank, where it fed into the sea, Mediterranean Ocean, Mediterranean Sea, if you wish. And there would be a lot of trade. It was a huge, huge bay there. Ships would come in and out. They would bring their trade back and forth. They would actually go over there and go up the Cyprus River and take trade as far as Philadelphia, not the Pennsylvania one, but the one in Turkey. And there the people gathered because they liked it. The problem with overpopulation, you get overstimulation and you get in problem. There was so much growth going on, they clear cut the forest. And in doing so, they were taking it for lumber or they were making charcoal out of it. Well, if you clear cut the forest and you don't replenish it, and you let a bunch of wild mountain goats and a bunch of wild sheep come in and eat all the little green trees that are trying to go, you soon get erosion. And over the centuries, the erosion took all the soil off the ground that had been so fertile, washed it down the river, and the rivers became just swamps, and then washed it into the gulf, the harbor, and it filled up with dirt, and what was a great city died out by its own success. During the time of Paul, it was doing fairly well. Nowadays, it's not at all. And when the churches were growing there, and Paul had great love for them, had great respect. Listen to how he wrote it. To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. The word in Greek says to the saints. To the saints. Now, he's not talking about that football team down in New Orleans. If some of you follow pro football anymore, I don't know why, but if you do. He's talking about the word sanctified. Those who have been blessed by God because they have been obedient to God. And that's who he's writing to. Anytime we see the word saints in the New Testament, that's who he's speaking to. Those who are sanctified. He doesn't say, and trust me, and I could get a lot of trouble, but I welcome it. I'm not saying you should be religious. I don't care what if you're religious or not. I want you to be sanctified. Religious means just going somewhere. We will religiously, every Wednesday night, go out to dinner with our grandsons. Well, that's good, but that don't save me. Religiously, we go every Sunday night and pick up my mother-in-law, Becky's mother, that would make her my mother-in-law, yeah, and take her out to eat because her place is closed on Sunday night for food. We do that every Sunday night. That doesn't make you saved. That just means we repeat it over and over. And the problem with, catch your breath, because I get excited about this, excuse me, start talking like a northerner. Don't I talk too fast? Talk like a southerner, Dwight. We get so involved in the same thing over and over and over. We don't know why. Well, what we need to do is, what does God want us to do? And to know what does God want us to do, and follow what God has given us example through Jesus, and through the apostles, and through the writers of what we should do. Let's go a little further. So I want you to call each other brother saint and sister saint. That's fine with me. Grace and and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. The unearned forgiveness and happiness. We can't earn happiness. We've got to accept it. We can't earn forgiveness. We've got to accept it. If we could earn it, then Jesus would not have had to come and die upon the cross. The problem is, and if you've traveled around the world, or if you've known people from other parts of the world, the problem is, we as Americans are so independent. I'll do it my way. I'm a self-made man, etc., etc. That we keep pushing the necessity of a Savior out of our lives, and that's sad. Because we lose the great love that Jesus had for the kingdom. I got a little eye here. Some of you was kind enough to notice it. If you can't see from there, too bad. It's got a Balaam next to a lion. Now that's revelationist. When the lion lays down with the lamb, that's going to happen. Our lifetime, I don't know. What that means, there will be peace on this world that God is setting up. And even better than that, there will be peace on the world to come. When he gathers all the saints together, as promised there in the book of Revelation, Revelation 2, but I was going to think about the book of Acts, first chapter. And peace will be in the world, and there will not be anger or hatred or sin or war anymore. You go on. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If you ever feel lost, if you ever feel let down, if you ever feel sad or abandoned, we have a lot of people who feel abandoned anymore, then we're not looking in the right place. Because God has given us all that we need. Now, does that mean we recognize it? Far too often we don't recognize what we've got. Far too often we don't accept. Is it not John 3:16 that says, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life? Yes, it is. I read it right before I got up here. I know it's what it says. If God cared so much for Dwight and Billy Bob and John and Mary, et cetera, et cetera, if God cared that much that he would let his son die, he cares a lot. Now, I have my kids, when I taught them how to drive, Becky was too nervous. I taught them how, when they were driving, I said, if you see a squirrel in the road or a deer in the road and you can hit it or take the ditch, hit it. I'll fix a car a lot easier than I'll have a funeral. A very good friend of ours dodged a deer one day and ran a fence plank right through his chest and killed him. Now, if it's a child in the road, then you get off the road and don't hit them. See, we've got to make priorities in our lives. And far too often, we have a bad judgment of priorities. And we pick the wrong things. But I'm going to tell you, what does it say? Greater love have no man but to die for his brother. Is that picture up there beside you, Colin? The one that you painted for us? Yeah, I thought so. Jesus died for his brothers and sisters. There is no greater love than that. And if he loves us that much, you've got to consider yourself special. If you don't consider yourself special, then study more. Because God made you special through Jesus. And because of that, we can grow and develop deeper love with him. Let's go on. For he chose us in him before creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, I'm going to read you a word that you're going to get all falling apart about. We're going to look into it. He predestined us for adoption into sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. Far too many people in old religions have been made up saying that God decided before the world was created which one of us go to heaven, which one of us go to hell. It does not say that anywhere in the scriptures at all. The predestination he's talking about is that we, not being Jews, can be adopted into the family of God through the blood of Jesus. That's what it means. You do have a choice. Matthew and Mark both say, go ye therefore into all the world, preaching and teaching and baptizing the nations. The baptism is what we do to accept the gift of grace from God. So therefore, we have to be a willing participant to accept salvation. And sometimes I really don't have a choice. It's already been predestined. No, it's not. The predestination part is love God, serve God, obey Jesus, follow His commandments. Heaven's waiting for you. But it also says if you don't do this, you have no hope. And hopeless is a sad place to be. Verse 6, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has given us freely, and the one He loves, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, and according to the riches of God's grace He lavished on us. Any of y'all have a first grandchild? First grandchild can walk on water. First grandchild may fill a diaper and it doesn't smell. First grandchild may throw up and you collect it to save it because it smells like perfume. Now I'm over-exaggerating a little bit, but not a whole lot. And when you have the second set of first grandchildren, by the other child, it repeats all over. You see, God made us special because He made us like Him. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And of all the scriptures, Jesus walked, God walked. Jesus talked, God talked. Jesus had arms and legs, He ate, He thought, He loved, He cried, He wept, whatever. We'll use the word wept if you wish. All of those are abilities that we have as well. So we are truly made us in God's image. I'll go with you to the first book of Genesis, first chapter of Genesis, third chapter of Genesis. Let us make man in our image. We're children of God. And anything that separates us is because we let the devil do it to us. Like he tried with Adam and Eve. So we are special to God. You don't feel special. You're away from home. Some of you are military, and God bless you for that. You're away from home. It's your first birthday away from mama and daddy. Nobody even knows I'm alive. Nobody cares for me. I'm sitting here in this barracks doing physical training. The drill sergeant doesn't care if it's my birthday. He may say, happy birthday, do 19 more push-ups. I don't know. But we feel sorry for ourselves too often. And that's when we look past that. Say, God has blessed me. No matter how the heart. And folks, if you've not had a hardship in your life, see, Emma's in the other room. She's three, five. She's good night. She's five. She's six. I'm going to need a cane. Other than that, is there anybody here that's never had a hardship in their life? I didn't think so. And it's not because God hates us, it's because God loves us. And He allows us to get through it. And He allows us to grow from it. Now, we can sit around a pity party. Hey, this dude here, Paul, probably the most scholarly person in his time, spoke Greek, wrote Greek, spoke Hebrew, wrote Hebrew, spoke and wrote Aramaic, the language that they used in Israel at that time, and probably just as good with Rome, Latin. I hated Latin. Latin is a dead language, dead as it could be. First to kill the Latins, and now it's killing me. Worst grade I ever got. I didn't survive high school because of that one class. What was I going to say? Paul didn't feel sorry for himself. He said, I'm happy to be a prisoner for Jesus. And sometimes we say, life is, folks, life is tough. If you don't think life is tough, you're on the wrong planet. Or you need to get your eyes worked on, your ears worked on. Life's tough. But God will not leave us. For on that glorious day of judgment, when He comes down from the sky with the angels to take all of His children and all of our souls up to be with Him, that will be a time of reward. What's that song? Oh, that will be, oh glory. Glory for me. I'm looking forward to that. Sooner the better. Here we go on. In Him we have and through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, and according to the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. Redemption, forgiveness of buying back. Satan doesn't own us anymore. He's bought us with His blood. And then the latter part, God's grace that lavished. Now, lavish is a very exclusive word. It means to pile on and pour on and to have much more than you ever thought you wanted, needed, or could stand. It's just extra. And God lavished Christ's blood upon us and his forgiveness and his love. We are special. Please, if you do nothing else when you leave here today, remember dinner next Sunday and that you're special. Not particularly in that order either. But we are special people because we are created in the image of God. And don't let yourself get down. With all wisdom and understanding, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. This was the plan. This was the plan. If you read any of y'all read mystery novels or something like that, and you find out at the end that the plan was already made from the start, you just had to work your way through it. Read it and follow it and go. They said Ian Fleming had every book he was going to write about James Bond already in his mind before he wrote the first one. He would just follow through. He had a plan. Well, I like it that God has a plan. And that plan includes us. If you ever doubt that plan includes us, go out to about 5 or 6 in the morning and see that sun coming up. And yes, it's been hot the last couple of weeks. I'll be honest about it. We didn't have the snow that Jeff and Denise had. Thank God for that, but it's been hot. But you know what? A degree or two tilt different. A couple thousand, 100,000 miles closer to the sun. We'd done been french fried. But God had a plan to put us where we need to be. God recycles the water. Gets hot, steam goes up, come back in rain. Hopefully pretty soon because we kind of need it a little bit. But he gives us what we need. And if we let that plan work out in God's way by obeying him, then we will be successful in our relationship with him and then successful with other Christians, other than the ones that we call saints. And that's got to give you some hope. Got to give you some hope. To be put in effect when the times reach their fulfillment. To bring unity to all things in heaven and upon earth under Christ. Are you in a hurry? Aren't most of us in a hurry? I mean, if the guy in front of me, in the left-handed lane, on 75 or 41, is going exactly speed limit, then why can't he do it in a different lane and get out of my way? No, I'm not the one who felt that way. Tell me the truth. And if it's 5 minutes late, we want it to be 5 minutes early. If you have to wait, there needs to be a law in the state of Florida. I told this girl that today. That if I've got a Florida license plate, a driver's license, that you have to cut in front of all the snowbirds and let me eat first because I'm here in the summertime too. Yeah, you're with me. Let's start that campaign. Tell the governor about it, whatever his name is. We get in a hurry. I'm kind of glad God didn't get in a hurry. Or he may not have waited around for us to be born and to live this life, this wonderful life with each other and to be successful in serving him. But in his time, Sixteen was the age limit in Kentucky. The day of your 16th birthday, you skip school, you go down and you take that written driver's test. Then you practice for 2 months. Then you take that manual driver's test. Then you fail and go back and practice another month. And finally you get that driver. Some states, 14. I wouldn't put a 14-year-old on a bicycle on the road, let alone a car. There's things we get in too big a hurry for. And it's probably not a good thing. And God knows that. If we knew all the mysteries of the world, if you was the smartest thinker in the whole world and you knew it all, what would you do with it? That's why God gives us a little bit of time. What would happen if you were 9 and you knew everything you know now? That'd be scary. Scott's father-in-law, our son's father-in-law, died 2 weeks ago. And the older twin is having a real tough time with it. She said, "Daddy, why is everybody disappearing?" Because she won't see him again. Why is everybody disappearing? She said, I'm afraid you and Mom are going to disappear too. That's tough for a five-year-old to know when you just turn in at your birthday with your grandfather. But she'll learn when she gets older how to handle it. And most of us will learn as we get older how to handle some of the tough things in life that we don't understand. He put in effect time's reached their fulfillment to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. Won't it be nice when there's peace? Won't it be nice when there's understanding? When people get along intentionally? The lion and the lamb. You see, that's my tie. In him we're also chosen to have been predestined. Again, that word predestined. The opportunity to do something according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. You've been a boss. You've been a military lieutenant or captain, maybe even a sergeant. Probably a sergeant. They know more about it than the rest of them do anyway. Sorry for you other officers. And you put somebody on a routine, you want them to learn from it. They need to understand and grow and go. You're trying to train them to be better, whatever it is. Wax on, wax off, remember? Mr. Nuriaki, wax on and wax off. Just to teach that boy how to be prepared. God's trying to prepare us for the life that's coming before us. Can we take time to learn? Diana Ross sang a great song, You Can't Hurry Love. And oh, I know about teenage girls who pine away because they don't have a boyfriend at 14. Oh, nobody will ever love me. I'll never have a boyfriend. I'll never get married. Life's so sad. Then a boy asks her out. She just, ah! I'm sorry. That was uncalled for. True, but uncalled for. And you are also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth and the gospel of salvation. When the door was opened to us. Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That comes from Simon Peter on the day of Pentecost. That is the message that we need to know. Then it's the message we've got to follow. And if we don't, we open ourselves up for failure and disappointment and sadness and great losses. The opportunity is there. I'm scattered. I don't even apologize. I'm ADD. I'm certified that from the school system. And I actually carry 3 extra keys in my truck, hidden in my truck, sometimes hidden from me, because I lose my keys somewhere in a hurry. Now, you want to steal my truck? I don't know why you would. It's in the gas cap. I hide a key in the gas cap. 2 or 3 times a week, I will not find my keys. There's a plan. I've got a backup. My keys in the gas cap. Please take it. If you take the truck, make sure it burns, because I would like a new one. But got to do is plan ahead and be prepared. And you guys carry a $20 bill back inside your billfold where it's there just in case of emergency. Those emergencies keep happening closer and closer, don't they? He says you were marked with a seal. When you believe, you were marked in him with a seal. At baptism, you were given the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know whether I'm talking about a month from now. No, we won't be then. Weeks, years from now, whatever. We're going to finish up the book of Revelation. And in that book of Revelation, we will talk about the seals. Satan will seal the ones that have not accepted Christ, his children, his followers, his obedience, his minions, with a 666 on the forehead, the back of the hand, one or the other. We're told that. It could be a tattoo. Dwight Elam. Away from the pulpit, person thinks it's a computer chip. I really think that's going to happen. I don't know. On the other hand, God will seal his children with the mark of the cross, which Satan cannot overcome because we belong to Jesus. And that's a promise that's been made to us from all the way back in the days of Adam and Eve. When it says God's son, Eve's descendants, will crush the head of Satan's descendants, the devil. We're sealed by him. Do you ever get a package? They got this thing with a little curve on it, with a little arrow on it, and I don't know what it's called. It gets you there the next day. And you open it up the box, and it's, nowadays, you don't use a box. You just put it in a plastic bag, and they heat seal it in the plastic bag. 2 crowbars, torch later, you cut the plastic bag open, and you can have what's in it. if you haven't read it. It's been sealed for your protection. God has sealed his children for the protection against Satan's attacks. Yes, we will be hurt and we may even die, but our soul cannot be conquered. Thank God for that. And because of that, we've got to go out every day and say, this is a good day. This is a good life. Let me serve him all the more. We go on. And you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were right with him in the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who has deposited, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. You ever been in the bank? You make a deposit. You put money in there ahead of time in case it's needed, or to be prepared when it's needed. Well, the Holy Spirit has deposited in our account salvation. Now, I'm not trying to relate that you can buy your way to heaven. Absolutely cannot. What I'm trying to say is God has made the plan for us. We go on to the last part of 14. A deposit guarantee of inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. The bringing them back, the bringing them in. The graves will give up the dead. The sea will give up the dead. Everywhere the souls of the dead are, they'll rise up to be with Christ in heaven. That's the redemption. That's the calling in, the in-calling of the saints. And golly Moses, the last six words, to the praise of his glory. We'll be in Christ's possession and praise of his glory. And what that tells us is, it's going to be a reunion. A happy time. Last year in February, I traveled up to Kentucky and went to my family's 100th family reunion. Started right after my uncle got back, great uncle, got back from World War I. And I met people I hadn't seen in 40 years. I met people I've never met before. But it was a good time. In October, Becky and I are going up to our high school's 50th anniversary. I've seen their pictures. They all put them on the... Those people got old. Becky and I look the same in my eyes. Those people got old. I would be some of them on walkers and canes. I don't know. But it'll be a happy time. And when you're going to see friends and family, it's going to be a happy time. Because heaven is a place where we will be happy. You don't put gold on the streets and make the walls out of jewels and the gates out of big pearls if it's not a happy place. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father without me. If you're not happy with your life, if you're not satisfied with your relationship with God, we're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation decision. After you just decide to give to Christ because he gave so much to you. Stand with me, Caroline.
494.
Sing hymn number 494.